The federal government's move to slash the capital gains tax discount hasn't gone down well among some investors, both the traders in shares and cryptocurrencies. They warn the changes could harm innovation and entrepreneurship in Australia. It comes as the Sydney fintech firm BlockEarner has become the first crypto company to secure an Australian credit licence, allowing the company to directly offer regulated lending products under its own credit licence. John O'Loughlin is the Asia Pacific Director of cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase and joins me now. Morning, John. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks for having us again, Sally. Good morning.
What kind of growth have we seen in Australians investing in crypto in the past few years?
Yeah, it continues to have a really healthy adoption. I think we've seen four big cycles in digital asset currencies over the last 12 or 13 years. And we see a very healthy uptick in low double digits every year. And so while it's still a small base and compared to traditional equities and clearly the property market, it's small, but to date, it's about $100 billion of investments from Australians, and that's younger people and the older demographic. We're seeing really strong adoption as well. And that's projected to grow to $250 billion by 2035. In terms of age demographics, over half of all Australians aged 25 to 34 own crypto, actually 53% of younger Australians. So that demographic is clearly important and important to the future. Of all Australians, 6.2 million Australians have owned or do own crypto.
What does BlockEarner's license to offer lending products say about the sector at the moment?
Look, I think it's highly innovative, and full disclosure, Coinbase Ventures have an investment in BlockEarner, and so we have an arm's length relationship with them and track what they're doing. I think they're responding to demand from a demographic that want to collateralize and use their digital assets. It's mainly Bitcoin, and that remains the bulwark of the market, and over 60% of the market cap of all digital assets is still that kind of digital gold, which we've talked about on your program before. I think people want to borrow on their Bitcoin without having to sell it. They feel they've been priced out of the housing market. They want to see an increase in their assets and appreciation in asset classes that they believe are going to have greater gains over time than perhaps traditional mandatory super, where they feel that the gains may have topped out or not be as attractive to them. And so this gives them a vehicle to borrow on their Bitcoin without having to sell it or lose it. So they can gain in that and then also invest in property as well.
There's been a lot of concern from young investors about changes to capital gains tax. What sort of effect will the government's proposed tax changes mean for the crypto sector, do you think?
Well, look, I think we're really pleased to see the government has included efforts on tokenization of assets in the innovation agenda in the budget. And this is important because there are a number of studies, and this has also been driven by the Reserve Bank's projects with what they call Project Acacia, which backed, you know, a number of incredibly innovative Australian projects digitizing all sorts of financial products, practical applications for all parts of the economy. And that report says that there's about $24 billion of opportunity to be unlocked by blockchain technology across equity markets, all sorts of finance and innovation. But unfortunately, the new treatment of capital gains tax makes it more likely that these solutions could be built offshore and Australia will become a purchaser of these solutions as opposed to, you know, outright owning these solutions. And I think when Canberra looks at the world, they look at Meta, they look at Amazon, they look at the big providers from offshore coming into this market and potentially wanting to really chase all of the users and consumers and citizens in Australia. And then you look at what's going to be the next Canva or the next Atlassian or next Xero or Afterpay. So we think there's an opportunity to keep these companies onshore. Founders in particular have been making a lot of noise on social media about this. Why should they be taxed when they exit their business if they do well at it? Why should they be taxed for their gains from digital assets? Why should they be taxed from equities and property? As a Kiwi, I'm seeing a lot of chatter from across the ditch saying, come and relocate to New Zealand, no capital gains at all. Clearly, the grass is greener on both sides of the Tasman, but that's certainly been getting a lot of airtime after the announcement of this budget.
John O'Loughlin, thanks so much for your analysis. Thank you.
Thank you.